Thanks. Most of the papers that have been presented in this topical session have related to the effect of management on creating greenhouse gas forcing, and I'm taking a little bit different approach. What are the effect that we expect changes in climate going to be on our soil resources? We heard in our evening plenary last night that soil erosion control is critical for sustaining society. I think I want to show you how Russell II could be a useful tool for predicting what the effect of alternative managements would be on that resource conservation. I'm going to give you some background. I'm going to describe Russell II and show you how we model various management alternatives, and I'm going to show you two new advances with Russell about runoff events and 2D approach. Rainfall erosivity at the hill slope scale is highly correlated with soil loss and sediment delivery. It is expressed on these hill slopes either as splash erosion or rill erosion, which are random small rivulets of concentrated runoff. When you get to this picture we've seen with concentrated flow controlled by topography, it gets outside the realm of being driven by rainfall erosivity. And the quantification of this ephemeral gully erosion is a real research need, but unfortunately the large database we have of erosion measurements does not include a large database of ephemeral gully erosion, and it's a remaining research need to be addressed. This is a training diagram for how USLE or Russell is supposed to be applied. It's a small watershed in Trainer, Iowa, Watershed 11 for those of you who know it. And this is from the Russell Handbook, and it says the Russell II hill slope starts at the top of the slope and goes till it reaches concentrated flow. That's all that Russell and USLE applies, and we need a different model to deal with the erosion that might occur in concentrated areas. Russell II art is figuring out what the appropriate slope length is, and we still are working on ways to improve our erosion prediction in the concentrated flow area. Russell II is a very plastic interface. This is a really simple template, and it shows you what I'm going to be talking about how you would use Russell II. Russell II needs to specify a location, which is where you describe the climate, and in terms of climate change, that's where the climate change parameters would be identified. It involves a soil, and we're going to just use a silt loam soil. It involves topography, and we're going to use a 45-meter, 150-foot slope length at 6% slope on average, and a management, which is starting out with spring plow corn at 112 bushels, and 112 bushels is the average yield that was used at the time that all the erosion experiments were conducted that led to the development of Russell II. Russell II is going to predict an erosion rate and a sediment delivery rate, which can be compared to a tolerable soil loss. Within Russell II, these folders indicate that there's a lot of information hidden underneath it. So if you click on a folder, you're going to find out that the climate in Russell II is described by monthly average temperature, precipitation, and erosivity density. If you right-click on any of these headers in these little tables in the Russell template, you are going to be able to have an option to make graphs, and I'm going to make lots of graphs in this seminar. So this is what precipitation looks like, but it's disaggregated into daily values. It retains the same shape. The sum over the months is retained, or the average in the case of temperature is retained. Erosivity density is rainfall intensity. It's how hard raindrops fall. It's the amount of energy of the R factor per unit rainfall. And so this times this gets you this when it's disaggregated, and this is the daily erosivity which drives erosion in Russell II. The other property in Russell II that's really important for climate change is the size of the 10-year, 24-hour rainfall event. We are told that in climate-changing circles that we're likely to get maybe less frequent but more intense storms. We may get more rain or less rain. We may get warmer. These are the properties that are going to be changed to describe climate change forcing in terms of Russell II. In terms of predicting your runoff events, which is I'm going to talk to later, we also have now in Russell II a way of adjusting precipitation for snow and for antecedent water content seasonally on average. Most of the management practices that you would study are going to be described in terms of managements that are combinations of operations and vegetations. If it's in a rotation, which could be a one-year rotation, the Russell will iterate so that you get beginning and ending values that are uniform. The vegetation description involves descriptions of how a crop is going to grow over time. And there are tools to develop those descriptions built into the Russell interface. The vegetation also describes the kind of residues that are created by a typical vegetation in terms of whether they're fragile, how they're going to respond to tillage, how much cover they're going to provide as a function of mass, their decomposition half-life, so that when you add a certain amount of residue during an operation, these operations, I meant to say, are sequences of activities that take place in the field. They create roughness, they plant crops, they bury residue. So when you have a harvest, you kill the crop and you put residue on the surface, and that residue then decays over time in linkage with the climate model. In contrast to a lot of other models, the crop growth in Russell 2 is not linked to climate. The user specifies what it is, but the residue decomposition is linked to climate. And I think there's an advantage to having the biomass production not linked to climate, and I'll show you that later. NRCS has elaborated a large number of management descriptions that involves operations and vegetations and residue descriptions. They're organized according to this database. They're available for conservation planning nationwide. The new version of Russell 2, which is now available only on the ARS website, is available for general use in English units or in metric units, and the metric unit one is what I will present. So instead of having a really simple template, this is the template that you would get with Russell 2 if you downloaded the new version from ARS. You'll notice before we had 46 kilograms per hectare of erosion, still we do. It's the same model. We have the same management that we had before. This is showing how the standing residue changes over time. Once you moldboard plow it, it goes away. Here's how the surface residue changes over time, and this is the surface cover associated with it. So here's how we would manage residue alternative managements. If we went to no-till, we'd eliminate some of those tillage operations, and our residues would change, and the erosion goes from 46 down to 3 tons kilograms per hectare per year. Now we have an uncoupled thing. We can just double the yield, double the biomass, and see what the effect is. We don't have to change crop parameters. We don't have to change nitrogen rates. So if we double the yield, we reduce the erosion from 2.7 down to 0.6. We've increased our biomass. Now some people are going to be interested in harvesting biomass. What would be the effect of harvesting biomass? So I just created a removal biomass where I took 80% of the standing biomass and 50% of the surface biomass that totaled 8.4 megagrams of hectare of residue removal, and we now have the average erosion rate has gone up to more than it was when our no-till was 112 bushels per acre. Okay, this is a kind of manipulation that you can, an analysis you can do in Russell 2. One other thing about Russell 2, though, it's not your father's USLE. It involves process-based sediment transport. So we take this same average slope, still 45 meters, 6% slope, but we make it into some sort of a complex shape. We go back to our 112 bushels, which was 44 before. Now parts of this slope are eroding at more than 46, but the sediment yield off the bottom is only 12. And this is our erosion. And so we see we have a peak erosion, which is quite high, and we have the last three segments, these three here, we have deposition going on. If we add a buffer, Mike, we have increased deposition. We've gone from 12 down to 4, so we've trapped sediment. We haven't changed the erosion on the eroding part of the hillside. If we go to no-till with residue reduction, residue harvest, this the same one that was harvesting that 8 megagrams of hectare, now we have sediment yield is down to 2, but part of our slope is still eroding at nearly 10 megagrams per hectare per year, and that's that 1 millimeter per year that David Montgomery was talking about last night as being on the edge of where stable civilization would be. All right. The two last things I want to talk about are this new runoff event capability, which is leading to the ability to predict ephemeral gully erosion. We predict climate change in terms of average monthly runoff, the number of runoff events per year, and the parameters of a statistical distribution describing that population of runoff events. We do that from our Russell 2 databases. So here we have, back to our 46 megagrams, here's our normal erosivity, our varying soil erodibility over time, our C factor, crop management factor, and our predicted erosion over time. If we go to this storm sequence event tab in the new Russell interface, we have the option inside that of turning yes or no event-based computations. If we turn it on, we have the option of populating the rainfall events with measured historical data, with climate-generated data, or we can let Russell develop from its own database a sequence of channel-forming runoff events. It does not change the average soil loss. It does not change the antecedent roughness and crop cover conditions. But erosion computations are now based on a series of events, and this series of events is based on a maximum specified return period for the largest event. The largest event in this case defaults to 1 year. It's said to be 18 millimeters of runoff. It occurs on June 15th. It's this event. The maximum runoff rate is in this event, and the runoff and sediment size and distribution parameters are suitable for linkage to an ephemeral gully model. We have linked this with the ephemeral gully in WEP, but I think we need to do better than that, and we're working on developing a better ephemeral gully model. The last thing is that we want to take these events and drive them in a GIS LIDAR-based approach. We're working with AGRIN, who got a grant from the Iowa Department of Natural Resources to develop a way of automating the slope length determination for Russell 2. And we're working to improve computational efficiency. So if you take LIDAR data, you can see the terraces, but you need special procedures so that you don't just fill all the pits and have the channels run across the terraces. This is an ongoing challenge. Once you've identified using GIS tools where the channels for potential ephemeral gullies are located, then we have developed a program by which we can put the various pixels together in an appropriate way and calculate profiles, Russell profiles involving flow convergence using the flow vectors from the GIS analysis. And in each one of those segments, we calculate the local slope length based on the ratio of runoff from those events generated within the cell to that leaving the cell. And if it's 1:1, then it's the top of a hill, and then the slope length is just the cell size. And our vision is that we would be generating a yield map or an erosion map from the landscape, and then management zones could be developed whereby you could choose where to harvest residues or where you shouldn't harvest residues or where buffers should be placed. So that's our plan. So Russell's a hybrid model with conservation planning. It's robust. It has huge available databases. You can measure the effect of climate change in terms of inputs of monthly temperature, rainfall, precipitation, erosivity density, and the 10-year rainfall depth. And we are working on developing linkages with the GIS.